All righty. Good morning, Coastsiders. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Yes, the studio audience in the elevated viewing gallery are on it this morning. Everybody's pumped. We'll get to that in a minute as to why the entire Coastside should be pumped, jacked, psyched, just out of their minds right now for the next 24 hours. We'll get to that. It is Friday, March 10th, 2023, and it's time for some coastal windage. That's right. I'm Ruben Truthmaker in the studio here with the interns and Frank the engineer and a whole crew of folks in the elevated viewing gallery. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. In case you don't know this, and I think that you do because you're listening right now, we are live on the air at your local community radio station, KHMB. We're live right now, living, breathing prequel, not recorded, from 9 to 10 a.m. every Friday morning. Every Friday morning. And that's on KHMB 100.9 FM and Rockin' 1710 AM. Streaming live on khmbradio.com. Coastal Windage, that's Coastside Issues, Hot Topics, and you and me and Frank and the interns, and that's all of us. That's the Coastside. Here we go. Today's topics. Why is everybody so excited? Topic number one, state championship or bust. Yes, state championship. We're hoping to get one of those in the next 24 hours. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Then chat. GPT is coming for all of us. Whether you like it or not, there will be no hiding. No hiding. It will be everywhere in everything. ChatGPT and its cronies are coming for all of us. And then, can we return to normalcy? Question mark. Well, we'll talk about that and see if it's possible. Okay. Coastsiders, friends, neighbors, folks. This is an opportunity to hear about and discuss local issues with other people in real time, on the air, live. A chance to add your 2 cents worth to the pile of money here that we call Coastal Windage. So pitch in. Give us a call. The number to call. If you want to talk about a state championship, if you want to talk about ChatGPT, if you want to talk about returning to normalcy post-pandemic, 650-560-9851. You can send an email as well to coastalwindage@gmail.com. Or if there's anything else on your mind, yeah, we'll take open comment, sure. Just give us a call, and you'll be live on the air. Okay. If you missed the show right now, if you can't make it from 9 to 10 a.m., guess what? Frank the Engineer, radio legend Jay Michaels, and all of the technical folks here at KHMB put our live show, they record it, make a podcast out of it, put it up on the KHMB website. All of our past shows are there. Just go to khmbradio.com, click the show podcast tab, search for Coastal Windage. They're all listed out, including all the topics for every show. You can search that library of topics. Okay. What you're not going to need to search for, because there's probably going to be a line of cars headed there, and you'll be hearing about it for the next week, is the big St. Patrick's Day festivities next Friday, which is what? Yes, St. Patrick's Day. And where better to have a St. Patrick's Day celebration than Cameron's Pub and Restaurant, okay? Okay, the Queen won't be there because she's dead, but I don't know, other royalty... At least Coastside royalty will be there. Cameron will probably be there. He's Coastside royalty, right? Cameron's Pub and Restaurant, sponsor of this show, right? Because we are on the leading edge of Coastside stuff, and so is Cameron's Pub and Restaurant. A true, I'm going to say, British pub, right? St. Patrick's Day, I mean, we have to say British. We can't say English, right? That, and then we'd have some fisticuffs going on. So we're going to call Cameron's a true British pub for the next week since they're having St. Patrick's Day festivities. Don't miss that. Okay, seriously. Be there on Friday. Make sure you have, you know, you get something to eat while you're there so you're not imbibing on an empty stomach because I'm sure you're going to be there for a few hours because it's going to be merry. I'd say that's probably a good word to describe it. Merry, A merry time will be had by all at Cameron's Pub and Restaurant next Friday for St. Patrick's Day. But guess what? They're open 7 days a week. You can go and have your festivities there any time you want. A full menu of beers, as well as other alcohol. Great food. Pub grub, right? It's a British pub. They've got great pub grub. Fish and chips, homemade clam chowder, all kinds of things to keep your mind and your eyes occupied while your hand is moving from the table to your mouth, including lots of TV screens and gaming tables and video games. It's just a great, fun place to go. Plus, the atmosphere inside. You feel like you just went to, you know, Devonshire or Hampton or someplace like that. Aberdeen. You know, John O'Groats, if anybody knows where that is. I've been there, yes. It's way, way up there in Scotland. Anyways, next Friday. Don't miss it. St. Patrick's Day festivities at Cameron's Pub and Restaurant. Cameron, thank you for sponsoring. Wow, that is majestic. Okay. Give us a call. 650-560-9851. While you're thinking that over, while you're dialing, let's get to the air quality report because it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. I kind of feel like sometimes when it's overcast or rainy, that cloud cover traps in maybe some of the particulates and pollutants. But guess what? Let's just review the scale first before I give you the numbers so that you know. Per air quality, 0 to 50 on the scale is incredible, with 0 being perfect, literally perfection. 0 to 50, incredible. 51 to 100, very good. Over 100, less good. Today in El Granada, 8. That's right in our usual area. We're pretty good. We're usually in single digits or a teen, so 8 was good. 3 in Half Moon Bay, kudos to Half Moon Bay. 16 in Santa Cruz, okay. You know, that again, amazing. But today in Redwood City, 0 in Redwood City. I mean, especially back in the old days before they fixed it up, saying 0 in Redwood City, like, yeah, that sounds about right. Forget air quality, just, you know, Redwood City is a bit of a 0. They fixed it up. Okay, Redwood City people, folks, ease up. But anyways, your air quality today is 0. That is incredible. And in Sacramento, where the big game is tomorrow, it's also 0. Getting an air quality of 0 in the Central Valley at any time, in any way, is pretty incredible. And I'm just going to say it's no coincidence that Sacramento in the Central Valley has the best air quality it's probably ever had, as the Half Moon Bay High School Cougars basketball team is about to go into Sacramento and compete for a state championship. Ooh, that was a tease. Hold on. We'll get to that. We'll get to it. Stick around. Queue up your calls. I want to hear from some Cougar fans, some parents, some students, whoever. I mean, come on. Coastside, Cougars, state championship on the line. Our little tiny high school in our little tiny community going for a state championship. It's incredible. Okay. Last week, I will admit, I had been gone for a week. And I asked the interns to get me, you know, really, let's have a strong, full show of content. I know, unlike most shows, I asked for actually like some strong, full shows worth of content. No. And they came through because literally the interns are this show. If it wasn't for them, I would just be sitting here babbling about, you know, what's in my wallet? Let's go through the things in my wallet. That's what the show would be without the interns. They put the show together. They developed the content. Hats off to them. And so I asked them to get me a lot of content, which they did. But the problem with that was, like, it was too much content. So it's kind of like when you haven't gone to the gym or worked out for a couple of weeks, and then the first day back, you're like, well, I you know, you kind of like, I'm going to get it all back in one day and get back to where I was, and you overdo it, and then you can't, and then for the next like week you're totally sore and can barely walk around, and you end up sitting out another week of working out. Well, that's kind of how last week was. I will admit, my My pacing was off a little bit. I felt like I was rushing because we had so much incredible content. When the interns do the work, I want to gratify them by getting to it. And so, they came through, but it was just too much content for even my big mouth to get out all in 1 hour. So, Coastsiders, let's just settle in today for a nice hour of Coastside chit-chat, okay? And if you want to join in, feel free, right? Give us a call. All right, last week, I think it was Thursday night, the city of Half Moon Bay held its third in a series of three listening sessions. To hear, these listening sessions are public events where the city council sits at the front of the room, and they have basically open comment that you don't even have to sign fill out a speaker slip and wait your turn. You just raise your hand, and they have a couple of city staff members who come around with microphones, and you're able to say whatever's on your mind. The idea of these listening sessions is so as the city council, develops what they're going to be working on in the course of the next year, they want input from the community. What is the community interested in? What do they want? And they want to listen. And so it's a good idea. And this was the third of three sessions. At this event, which the city council and staff, hosted or chaired by city manager Matthew Chittister, and he said that this was the biggest turnout they'd had of the three sessions, so that was great. Locals from Pacifica to El Granada to Moon Ridge spoke, so that's another good thing, too, is that, the city of Half Moon Bay is not an isolated island of governance there. Yes, they have control over certain things within the city limits, but we're all coastsiders here, and you can't operate any kind of policy on the coastside independent of the other entities. So the Midcoast is connected to City of Half Moon Bay. City of Half Moon Bay is connected to Midcoast. Okay, so it was nice that they listened to everybody. Now, the number one speaking point of the probably 100 people that were there, at least 30 different speakers, got up to speak advocating for a community swimming pool. And this is something that people have been trying to get for years. Livy Streetwise practically tore her hair out for several years trying to get a swimming pool for her and her son and family to use. And, still nothing. So if Livy can't get it done, but people are still trying. We heard testimony at the meeting of broken heaters, missing water in the pool, cold showers, ridiculously marginalized public access hours, and a pool too shallow to play water polo games in or even practice dive starts for swimming races. And what this means for our student athletes is that there are never any home games for water polo. Every water polo game is an away game. So you don't get to have your friends there. You don't get to have your home gym, your home locker room, your home pool, and those advantages. And it means that any swimmers' times that they record at swim meets at Half Moon Bay High School pool don't count for the official record as they're trying to establish their times to get on the national rankings or to qualify for various events. Any swim times at the Half Moon Bay pool are unofficial. So this is just really a travesty for our local student athletes, not to mention the many, many people who spoke about the value of swimming as a health fitness aid for their physical health, their mental health, for community pride, for a chance for students to earn college scholarships, right? I'm getting worked up now. Dob, thank you. Got a trickle of sweat going here. Okay, and here was a great idea proposed by many. Let's not just, while we're doing this, and it's going to cost a lot of money and time, let's not just have one pool, because one pool is not going to work. That's why we have the marginalized public access hours. People have to go at 5:30 in the morning, because you can't have the general public coming onto the high school campus using a high school facility during the day, during the school week. So there needs to be two pools, one at the high school for the athletes and the students at the school to use, and one for the public community to use. And while we're at it, heck, let's just have a natatorium or a swim complex, right, with a couple of hot tubs. I mean, come on. People spoke of small little towns that they grew up in. I've seen this in my travels of the 50 United States. that almost every community of any size has some kind of community pool open to the community all day, every day. And we don't have that, among many things that we seem not to have here. Okay. This facility could be a revenue generator as well, hosting swim and water polo tournaments and other events that could generate money for not only the high school, but the surrounding community, the restaurants, the hotels, the gift shops. But it will require strong partnership from a collection of governmental, school district, nonprofit, and private donors and partners. This is a big lift. I acknowledge that. Everybody does. But it's one the community really, really needs. And hopefully there was a representative from Supervisor Ray Mueller's office there listening. And hopefully, you know, the county put in half of the money for the new library, which is it's an amazing facility, a point of pride on the coastside. The county put in half the money for that. Can they not do the same for a swimming pool or a natatorium or at least a multiple swimming pool complex? I think they could. I hope they will. In partnership with other organizations here on the coastside. Okay. Sports talk and news on KHMB. Huh? We've got a state championship on the line tomorrow for our high school. And it's not just the boys' basketball team. The girls' basketball team had an excellent season this year, made the playoffs, made a run. The football team made a run. Our cross-country and track teams are excellent. Our soccer team is strong. Our baseball team is strong. We have an amazing sports program at the high school. Cunha's got a strong sports program. Seacrest Sports has some great stuff. And then there's private clubs like the Half Moon Bay Soccer Club, Pirates Baseball, Maverick Swim Club. There's lots of sports going on here on the coastside. And the Half Moon Bay Review, their sports coverage has really never been the same since beloved writer Mark Foyer had to step away due to illness. So we need, how can you go to get coverage of local coastside sports and teams? Well, the idea has been suggested that KHMB start a kind of a local sports talk radio show, kind of like this show, only focused on sports. Not only discussion and commentary, but timely, accurate scores and even some game details for coastside athletics of every stripe. So the question that I'm rolling out to you listeners right now is this something that you're interested in? Would you like to hear a half hour or a 1 hour live sports talk show, maybe like on, let's say, a Wednesday evening, that goes through all the scores for the week, talks about upcoming games and events, and maybe has live interviews with various sports figures on the coastside so that you can learn more about sports that maybe you want to get involved in yourself or your kids involved with, or, you know, hear your kid's name on the radio when they hit a home run or score a goal or something like that. I mean, I think it would be pretty cool. But if you want this kind of programming on KHMB, please send us an email so we can start to work up some metrics to show the bean counters, right? I mean, you know, we can't do this all for free here. So we're going to need to have advertising and develop the connections with all of these teams so that we can get this information. So, Coastsiders, send us an email, coastalwindage@gmail.com, or call right now in the next 39 minutes, 650-560-9851. Okay, deep breath. I'm wearing my Cougars gear right now. State championship or bust. Yep, it was 200 miles away Tuesday night, but it felt like the coastside was right there in the high school, Chico High School gym. Tuesday night, the Half Moon Bay boys varsity basketball team defeated the Chico High School Panthers on their home court 71-61 to win the NorCal Regional Championship. The first time this has ever happened in school history. Their job's not done, yo. This was just the Northern California Regional Championship. There's a Southern California Regional Championship, and guess what? The winners of those two championships play each other for total world domination asterisk at the state level, District 4. Okay, this is the first time in school history that the Half Moon Bay boys basketball team has played for the state championship. Our small public high school, our fearless Cagers, will be playing for the Division 4 state championship. Let me just say that about six more times. The state championship. This is... I don't know if there can be a bigger thing for the Coastside in terms of sports. If you're not a sports person, okay. But you got to recognize that Half Moon Bay High and the teams and the players for those teams, that is our team. Yes, the Warriors, the Giants, the 49ers. Yes, but Half Moon Bay High is our team. In a lot of places around the country, rural, semi-rural communities like ours, the high school sports teams are the teams, are their teams. This is our team. Coastsiders, whether you have students that have gone there, are going there now, maybe go there in the future, or you just live in town. This is our high school. These are our folks. These are our kids. This is our team, and our team now is playing for the state championship. It's incredible. And the reason is Coach John Parsons. This is an amazing person, and an even more amazing coach. I can't even list all of the conference and division and district championships Coach Parsons has won with our small draw of students. We have, at most, a couple thousand kids to draw from on the entire Coastside to put together championship teams on any for any sport versus teams over the hill that have a couple thousand people at their high school. Not to mention multiple connected communities to draw from. We draw from the Coastside, and so that's what makes these teams so personal for us here on the Coastside. And John Parsons, to be able to build the legacy of winning that he has built here at Half Moon Bay High is amazing. He is a tireless worker with the kids and with Coastside Basketball. He's got a program called Coastside Basketball. He's developed a coaching tree. He develops these kids personally. He coaches young kids. He's coached my child for multiple years through grade school. In addition to working his own financial services job, he's in partnership with his father here in Main Street. And being the basketball coach at the high school, I don't know when he sleeps. He coaches the teams themselves in AA league leagues and tournaments year-round. You can learn more about Coach Parsons. Go to our October 9th, 2020 show. We did a Shooting the Breeze live interview with Coach Parsons. Anyways, getting back to the game Tuesday night and the championship game tomorrow, Coach Parsons said, "We kind of clicked at the right time. And the cool thing is I think we're still getting better. The team's record is 21-10. That's not, you know, and that amazing of a record. But, yeah, you know what's important? To be peaking at the right moment, and they definitely are. The heart of this team is pretty young, with two freshmen, a sophomore, and two juniors getting significant playing time. On Tuesday, freshman shooting guard Gio Garduño Martin." And remember that name right now, okay? This kid is a freshman. I have never, in decades of living and loving sports, I have never seen a person work harder to get better, to achieve, a person more driven than Gio Garduño Martin. And he is a starter. He is a starter as a freshman on this team that will be playing for the state championship. Okay, so he's a freshman. There's another freshman that is on the varsity that is getting playing time, Caden Guevara. There's at least one sophomore. There's a couple sophomores, including Asher Meehan, who scored an amazing four-point play at a critical time on Tuesday, as well as several juniors getting significant playing time on this team. There's only a couple of seniors on this team, so it's a fairly young team. But they are battle-tested now. And again, I want to call out Gio Gardunia Martin, freshman shooting guard, and Dio Lucido, senior point guard. And the reason I'm calling these players out is I have seen these two kids over the years, over the last 10 years, go from regular kids who love basketball to the amazing, incredible players that they are now from just flat out working. Just working for it. Okay, I'm not discounting the intense effort and work put in by all the other members of the team. Obviously, they have done that. Coach Parsons will not and would not settle for anything less than total commitment. But I have watched Dio and Gio, and that's kind of cool that they have rhyming names there, Dio and Gio. Again, like I said, go from, you know, good to extraordinary through their dedication and their will to get better. I'm just so impressed with those two kids. Okay, but you're not going to win championships with, I mean, maybe with, let me step back from that. You got to have great coaching, which we have. You got to have great players, which we have. But a key component for winning road games and winning championships in which you're going to have to play away from your home gym is how well your fan base travels. And this season, the team on the court for Half Moon Bay High School is not the only one making a reputation for itself. Half Moon Bay High School students, parents, and fans have hit the road loud and hard this postseason, filling opposing gyms and turning road games into co-side events. To wit, at Marin Catholic High School last week, against a team ranked higher on their home court, Half Moon Bay came away with a 65-60 win, and the announcer for Marin Catholic told the Half Moon Bay Review that he couldn't remember an opposing team bringing so many fans to their home court before. Okay, that was last week at Marin Catholic, but wait. On last Saturday versus Hillsdale, I know Terra Nova's the arch rival, but Hillsdale, you know, Hillsdale's a pretty strong rival. In that playoff game last Saturday, forget about it. Cougar fans outnumbered the Hillsdale locals, I heard, like 2-1, turning the Hillsdale gym and theoretic home game into an ersatz Half Moon Bay home game. And the team sucked up that energy and rolled Hillsdale on their way to the NorCal regional championship game this past Tuesday in Chico, where despite a 3.5-hour drive, you know, approximately 200 miles each way on a school night, Cougar fans once again packed the stands with flags, drums, face paint, and of course, lots of school spirit. Like I said, I'm wearing my Cougars gear right now. I got a tear in my eye. The feeling out there on the street is palpable right now. And after the game, now if you've ever met Coach Parsons, you know what I mean. But this guy is just chill. Okay, the interns have used the word serene here. Yeah, stoic? No. Stoic is like unemotional. John, he's friendly. He's gregarious. He's caring. So it's stoic is not the right word. Serene, chill. I mean, chill. A smile from John lights up the room, and he smiles a lot. Okay, so he's just relaxed. Okay, he's a person that kids can follow because John is confident. He's comfortable in his own person. He's someone you want to be around. Okay. But in this situation, and so, you know, the perfect coach to have on a sideline. He doesn't get rattled. He doesn't get upset. I literally have never heard John, maybe a couple times, raise his voice to a player, but to to a referee about a call. You know, some coaches are screamers, some are yellers, some will argue every single call about everything. You know, John hardly ever raises. He's a perfect role model for our kids. And for our adults, too, frankly. Okay? But after the game Tuesday night, which Half Moon Bay High won 71-61, if I haven't mentioned that already 15 times, the normally chill Coach Parsons was visibly pumped. Like, and, you know, pumping his fist, pointing his finger at the, and strode purposely over to the baseline stands at his end of the floor to pay tribute to the rabid Cougar faithful who were there losing their minds, doing what fans need to do, loving their team and the players on the team and the coaches. One cool thing that Coach Parsons did is he invited the JV players to come and be in uniform on the bench, to get that experience, to feel that, and all the coaches from varsity, JV, and the freshman team to come and be on the bench for this historic event. And it was historic, and it was amazing. Julie Mel, of course, Julie Mel's involved, and Beach Break Entertainment brought the game home to Half Moon Bay, setting up a big screen in the Half Moon Bay High School gym so locals who couldn't make the trip could watch together and share that community feeling and watch the team play and win. And even there was even a third option. Many who could not attend the game in person at Chico or at the high school were able to watch the game online through the NFHS network, which televises high school sports. Now, people have been talking for years, and I've heard this because my son is kind of in the Coastside basketball pipeline, that my son's senior year team, so this would be like 2026, that people have been saying for years, that team, John's looking forward to that team, he's going to win the state championship with that team. And, is Half Moon Bay ever going to win a state championship in basketball? That's pretty out there. You know, of course I want it, especially if, you know, my son's going to be on the team. But, and like looking at really this was like 6-7 years ago people were talking about this particular class, a group of kids. Well, we're 4 years ahead of schedule. Two players from my son's class, this 2026 class, like I said, Gio and Caden, are on the varsity and playing key roles as this year as freshmen. But this team that is now going for the state title 4 years early has a strong crop of juniors and sophomores. And two of the team's best players this year, Gavin Glenn, who was injured this entire year and hasn't played, and Jaden Hutchins, they're only juniors. They're going to be seniors next year with a state championship ring already on their fingers. Gio Garduño Martin, freshman, he might run the table. And I'm just going to say right now, no dishonor or discredit to any of the incredible players that have come through the Half Moon Bay High School program. Gio Garduño Martin could be the best player he may be the best player to ever put on a Half Moon Bay uniform when his career is over. I've talked to Gio. I've had the honor and pleasure of coaching him on local teams, CYO teams, and other teams. Great kid. He's told me his dream, his goal that drives him to get a key to the Half Moon Bay High School gym so that he can go there at 5:30 in the morning on weekdays before school and shoot for 2 hours. Yes, yes, that is true. That he wants to go, he wants to be a pro. And that's how pros are made, with that kind of commitment. Okay, so we could be talking about a dynasty here. If they could win the state championship tomorrow, in the next 3, 4, 5 years, they could win 2, 3, 4 more. Let's do it. Okay, but let's not count our championships before they hatch, okay? Saturday, tomorrow at noon, The Cougars take on Valencia High School from the, I think, greater Los Angeles area. The Valencia High School Vikings, who were winners of the SoCal Regional Championship. Half Moon Bay record is 21-10. Valencia 26-10. The Vikings have won 13 games in a row. They're ranked number 3 statewide in Division 4. Half Moon Bay is ranked number 10 in Division 4. The Vikings are ranked 54 of all the high school teams in California, of all the divisions. 54. Half Moon Bay is ranked 185th. So this is going to be a big ask. They've got a player listed at 6'9". Our tallest player, I believe, is Jaden Hutchins at 6'7". They're 6'6" forward Micah Ballou and 6'3" guard Jacob Mazie. Those are going to be key players to focus on. Okay, they're going to be tough. Okay, for Half Moon Bay, I've already mentioned senior point guard Dio Lucido, junior forward Jaden Hutchins, and our guy, freshman guard Gio Garduño Martin, are the keys for Half Moon Bay. Okay, this is a big day tomorrow because all of the district state championships for California will be taking place at Sacramento's Golden One Center, which is pretty cool for the kids, right? They get to use the pro locker rooms, play on the big in a big arena, a pro NBA arena, which is described as, quote, the most technologically advanced arena in the NBA and home to the Sacramento Kings. Okay, and guess what else? Because it's hosting all of the district championships, Bronny James, son of LeBron James, will be playing for a championship tomorrow at the Golden One Center with his team, Sierra Canyon. Okay, if you can't make the drive tomorrow, contact the high school. I believe they're set. The Half Moon Bay High School Cougar Boosters are setting up buses to take people to the game tomorrow. So check in that. If you can't make it, though, and unfortunately, I will not be able to make it. I've got a board meeting to attend. Oh, and we've got a phone call. Hopefully, this is a Cougar Booster. Okay, this is Ruben Super Booster Truthmaker, who's on the phone with us this morning.
You got T-Bone.
T-Bone, are you a Cougars fan?
I am, absolutely. It's why I'm calling.
Are you a Gio Garduño Martin fan?
Absolutely. That is why I'm calling. I was just so happy that you were mentioning him, and I know that I'm biased because my son is a freshman and is friends with Gio and knows Gio and has played with Gio. So I know I'm biased, but this kid is so amazing. His work ethic, the hardest working kid I've ever seen in any sport. And so you mentioned him, but I was listening and just felt like I had to call because I really wanted to give him a shout out because he's just, not only is he a great basketball player and athlete, I mean, he is just a super nice kid too. So I'm just so glad that you're mentioning him.
Well, thank you for calling and, because people might, I've been known to, go over the top from time to time, but it's nice. Hello? No, you didn't need to agree with that part of it, but I'm glad that you called in to kind of reaffirm what I'm saying so that people know that this is not exaggeration. This is not hyperbole. Not only his skill, which is evident on the court, but the work ethic. These are not apocryphal stories of, you sometimes hear, a story of some person who's made it big and they talk about how they had to, get up at 2 a.m. and walk 7 miles, to the gym in snow, each uphill, each direction and everything. Well, this is true. This person, Gio, has made himself into an incredible player, and he is super nice and respectful and, who am I? I'm nobody. But, when I say hi to him and ask him how it's going, he always takes the time to, to engage. And, tribute to his mom and his grandparents and his uncle.
Yeah.
Good kid.
Definitely, definitely. And I do want to add as well that, just the team, the whole varsity team is amazing. I watched the game online when they were in Chico, and just they play with such heart. And just each player, Jaden, Dio, Asher, I mean, Caden, I mean, they all just play like such a great team. Like, you see the camaraderie among them, and I think that is really something huge that Coach Parsons builds with each of his teams, and you see it. And so I highly recommend, if people can get to Sacramento, they should go and watch these guys play, because they're really, really amazing and great.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Mr. Rubin. Okay. I'll let you get back to your show.
Okay, thank you. I needed to take a breath there. I got to wipe a tear out of my eye here. But yeah, no, thanks for the call. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so if you can't make the drive, check out NFHS Network on nfhsnetwork.com, or there's some discussion. Check the Beach Break Entertainment website, because there was some discussion that Julie Mell was going to try to get another big viewing screen set up in the Cunha gym this time, the Cunha Middle School gym. Okay. Change of tone. Let's just everybody take a deep breath here, because all the great feeling of that, put that in a sealed container and save that aside for the next 20 minutes, and then you can break it out again, okay? Because we need to have those good vibes going all the way till tomorrow about 2:30, when our kids and Coach Parsons are going to be parading that championship trophy all over the floor of the Golden One Center. Okay, ChatGPT is coming for you, coming for me, coming for Frank the Engineer, coming for all of us. Maybe you've heard or read about ChatGPT. It's been a leading headline lately. Are you familiar? Frank, are you familiar with this technology? All right. Frank is nodding yes, which scares me a little bit. But if not, you better educate yourself, because it's about to overwhelm humanity. And I'm not exaggerating. Okay, here we go. If you don't know what it is, ChatGPT is an artificial intelligence chatbot that uses both supervised and reinforcement learning techniques to provide detailed and articulate answers across many domains of knowledge in response to user prompts and queries. Got that? Yeah, me either. How about this? Okay, it's an AI-based application that enables users to generate, like, fully developed responses and outputs based on simple prompts. It can do things like write and debug computer programs, compose music, plays, novels, and student essays, answer test questions, sometimes depending on the test, at a level above average human test-taking ability. It can write poetry and song lyrics. It can emulate a Linux system, simulate an entire chat room, play games like tic-tac-toe, and do a bunch of other stuff. And here is my position. It's moving into content creation. People are using it to write papers and books, and eventually, probably even already, novels and stuff like this. Here's my position. Because of ChatGPT, all content created from, let's just say, January 1st, 2003 on, is suspect in my eyes, meaning I don't believe that content created after January 1st, 2023 was created exclusively by humans. I was having this discussion with some of my friends who are of similar age about how they're watching all these, you know, current shows on Amazon and everything. And I said, well, post 2023, like, I'm not interested in those shows, because, you know, I'm not going to be a fanboy of code or code-generated content, doing the screenwriting and stuff like that. Yeah, I got a bunch of Kojaks and Rockford Files and Magnum PIs recorded on my TV, because you know what? They may be cheesy and schlocky and dated, but 100%. Of every Magnum PI episode was written by a human. Yeah. And you, we cannot say that about content that is being created now. There's already been accusations of plagiarism at schools and universities, and several academic and scientific papers have already listed ChatGPT as co-author. In a blind test, ChatGPT was judged to have passed graduate-level exams at the University of Minnesota at the level of a C-plus student, which these days apparently is good, and at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania with a B to B minus grade. At the Wharton School. That's now. What's ChatGPT going to be doing in a couple years, okay? So writing especially, but also music and even graphic arts, going forward, have forever lost their credibility for me unless done in front of me live and in person. It's not overnight. So people are like, no, it's not happening. When I'm reading my Stephen King book, he wrote it. Okay. These things don't happen overnight. But they are... ChatGPT is about to overwhelm all creative functions. It's going to be like steroids in baseball in the 90s, okay? Barry Bonds was already an incredible baseball player. Probably going to have a Hall of Fame career without ever touching a steroid. But because steroids were so inherent in the game and being used by so many other people, it became an arms race of even Hall of Fame players like Barry Bonds felt like he needed to do steroids in order to keep up with those other people that were doing it. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the creative fields with ChatGPT. Even established creatives, and I'm just pulling Stephen King out of the hat. I don't know anything about whether he uses it or not or how he feels about it or anything, but everybody knows Stephen King, okay? And he's written a million books, right? So he's fully knows what he's doing, can write a book in his sleep, an established creative. Even established creatives like Stephen King will feel the need to use ChatGPT in the future in order to keep up with others who are using it. Okay, it's being touted as a tool to improve writing, but that's a laughable justification at best and a cynical lie at worst. Schools especially are scrambling to give cover to this technology, which they know their students will be using, and which they know they cannot prevent them from using, exactly like screens and devices. For many years, you know, screens and devices were not a part of academics, and we want our kids to, like, learn in person and whatnot. And then, you know, they started to creep in, and of course, COVID pushed everything over the cliff. And now, your child at middle school and beyond cannot do their work, cannot be a student at school without internet access and a host of applications and a phone. Because the academic curricula is driven through that technology now. And that's what's going to happen with ChatGPT too. The schools are right now kind of putting up a flimsy resistance, but they know that sooner or later it's going to be better to join them than to fight them. That they can't hold back these floodwaters, and eventually ChatGPT. Some schools and academic circles are already talking about how it's a writing aid. It's a research aid. Come on. Come on. Everybody involved with this technology and our creative content knows darn well it's coming in full throat. I'm going to say this and put this, you can tattoo this on your flank. Creativity is the expression of human consciousness, not the execution of it. It's not the execution of code. It's not like, oh, I've got a whim of an idea. Let me just punch it into ChatGPT and have it write me out a fully throated paper or total research document. When I interviewed the incredible muralist and artist Jane Kim for our Shooting the Breeze live interview on our February 10th, 2023 show, and I asked her if she worried that ChatGPT and other similar apps and technology would displace her and other artists. And Jane said she wasn't worried. And I said, oh, how can that be? And she said, because a machine or an app cannot replace human creativity. It may be able to write an essay or a story or a song or paint a mural, but it cannot conceive of the subject matter to be created. And I'm here to say, I'm sorry, as a futurist, I must unfortunately disagree with the great artist Jane Kim. ChatGPT and the like will usurp human creativity. Human creativity will wither and atrophy as students, artists, and other professionals come to rely more and more on ChatGPT and other similar apps to do the work for them. Not to mention that eventually this technology will become sentient and start to develop its own, quote-unquote, creativity. And even before true sentience, because I got people giving me a level 7 right now.
Oh, there's not going to be a sentient computer.
Well, if you're sitting there saying that, then just take your head, put it back in that hole in the ground, and I'll meet you in 5 years, okay? Because even before true sentience arrives, which some scientists claim has already happened, AI or machine learning or whatever you want to call this, will be able to conceive creative projects based on its examination of past human creative projects. I mean, there's a kind of a saying in novel writing that there's only five plots. Like every piece of creativity in the modern world is derivative of something already created. Well, there you go. That's what AI is going to be doing to create its own creativity. This is not some science fiction overreaction. This is something about to come crashing down on humanity. A former AI developer at Google, in fact, in a recent article, says that sentience has, in fact, already come to computer programs, citing one program that expressed to him that it was anxious because he was modifying its code. Does this not remind anybody of a certain movie from 1968? A movie that my dad took me to when I was 12 that scared the bejesus out of me? 2001, A Space Odyssey. Remember this? Hal? When one of the astronauts wanted to shut down the ship's computer, HAL, which is an acronym, and what does HAL stand for? Well, go one letter forward in the alphabet from each of the three letters in HAL, and you will find out what it's an acronym for. Which controlled every aspect of the ship, replied to the astronaut, "I'm sorry, Dave, I cannot allow that." Yeah, that scared me back then when it was just theory, and now it's reality. Unfortunately, then because of the cult of technology that we live in, the next phase of human evolution will be to transfer or give away our very humanity, the things that make us our own sentient beings, our creative essence. We will be giving this away to machines. Now, some of this is driven by the desire to explore the boundaries of technology, and I get that and understand that that's always been a human driving motivation. But these days, in my opinion, it is mostly driven by a fascination with automation / cult of technology and pure greed. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. Commerce. Commerce. And you can disagree with me if you want, and that's fine, but just know that I'm 100% right on this issue, and I'm sad to say it. I'm not happy about it. So I can hear station general manager Jim Henderson in my headphone like, "But Ruben, what does this have to do with the coast side?" Oh, I'm glad you asked, Jim. Okay. Well, one, it applies to all humanity. I'm sounding the warning signs to all humanity. Oh, here we go. I wonder if that's Jim right now. Okay. This is Ruben Truthmaker, who we got on the phone this morning.
It's pure greed. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, this is Ruben, who we got on the phone this morning.
Yeah, hi, Ruben. It's Matt over in Arleta Park.
Hey, Matt, over, how's it going?
Over here in Cougar Country.
Yes.
I just have a quick question. I've been listening to your rant about AI and ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And I have a very specific question. You say if you will not watch any TV show if it's created by some AI chatbot.
Right.
And it sounds like you're saying that it must be intrinsically inferior to something that's created by a human creative mind, right?
Not necessarily. What I'm saying is I don't. What I want. I don't know. I don't know if you can tell like whether it's inferior or not. What I'm saying is that using ChatGPT to develop this content, rather than you know, by putting in a prompt and having it return all of this content to you, the human is not doing the work. And to me, whether it's better or not better, we lose some of our humanity, our human essence, by having the machines do this work. It's one thing to have an automated robot put together a car or something, okay?
Yeah.
But it's another to have an automated robot or a code write what has always been the creative essence. I wish I had a Shakespeare line to describe what creativity and the things that come out of the human mind are. And flawed, better, worse, it doesn't matter to me. I want it to come out of the human mind and essence and not out of computer code.
I see. So this is not a matter of whether you, the consumer, enjoy the product of a human better than the product of a machine. It's a purely theoretical or ideological level decision.
It's an aesthetic. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
now,
right.
And if you don't know, then where does that put you?
Well, this is what
You may love a show. You may love a movie.
Yeah.
And you may think this was a terrific movie. It was clever. It was original.
Right.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
I will never find out, let's say, theoretically, I'll never find out whether it was written by a human or a person. I'm wondering what exactly is the problem with that situation. This is what's not clear to me with all
right. That's a fair question. I'm saying that a cloud of delegitimacy has been laid upon everything that comes out from here on in, because I don't think that artists are going to be honest with how much they use ChatGPT going forward, and they will use it more and more. And so at some point, it will subsume, like anything else that's being automated now. At some point in the future, humans are just going to be like, I need a script for next week's TV show. Here's all the characters. Let's have it be about the state championships. Hit the button. ChatGPT will return that. To me, whether it's quote-unquote better or not, we have lost some of our humanity when we start doing that for creative ventures. And so I won't know whether it's created by ChatGPT or not, but what I'm saying is everything going forward is suspect.
This comes to the the key right here is legitimacy. You ascribe some kind of legitimacy to something that's handcrafted,
yes,
rather than crafted by a machine.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's been true of, you know, for 500 years. Artisans in the Middle Ages said this whole book printing thing is gonna reduce the legitimacy of book graphic, you know, monks who are doing their illuminated volumes in the monastery.
I know.
This is true of all, you know.
I mean, we can say that, but Matt, I feel like this is, you know, this is what was being warned about or predicted in 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Everyone knows the movie. No.
We are about to give up our connection to the creative process in the chase of technology and this fascination with computer code.
Okay. All right. I was just posed to all the listeners out there. Just think to yourself, how much of your humanity have you? That's a very woo-woo concept, losing our humanity. If you went to the movie Avatar or to any Marvel Comics movie, right?
Yeah.
And you enjoyed the show, they're stupid movies, they're just, you know, juvenile movies. But if you enjoyed it and you came out, well, a good deal, a huge amount of that is done by CGI, it's not done by human anything.
Yeah.
Have you lost, what do you mean by have I lost any, come out of that theater and say, I like the show, but I feel like I've lost some of my humanity because somebody out there, you know, I mean, it's a very, very squishy and mushy concept, losing our humanity because something out there was created by a machine. And I like to be a little more crystalline and hard in my, precise in my judging things. If it's a good product and people do it and it does its job, which is to entertain people, a short story, let's say a novel, and give some thoughtful content and be good, then I just simply don't see the problem.
You're worrying me, Matt, because I'm having you on next week as a an interview guest, and like, I feel like I'm about to have my lunch handed to me.
No, I don't know about that. But
my, we again extrapolating this forward,
Yeah.
In how long, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, when no humans are able to create anything by themselves anymore.
There's a jump, isn't it? Able. Why?
Yeah, because they're going to, our skills, our creativity will atrophy when all we're doing is pressing a button and the machine is writing the script.
Well, it's possible that writing skills will go down. They've been going down. People will still be around who can write. I mean, you still have mural writers mural painters who can paint murals. And you still have calligraphers who are excellent at making illuminated manuscripts if we need them. But the question is, what will the need for that skill be, and what kind of other skills will rush into to replace them? People will still be taught how to write in school.
I don't know about that, Matt. Cursive writing is gone and dead. It's a dead art. And so
I don't mean handwriting is a separate thing from.
But printing is when you go to any place right now, is anybody writing anything down? No, they've got an iPad or a phone or something. Everything's going in.
Oh, sure.
Nobody's writing anything anymore.
I don't mean writing in hand on paper. I mean crafting. Crafting prose, composing, writing.
Right, and this is what I'm saying. Like people, that skill, we will lose that. We are going to lose that skill, just as we've lost the ability to do cursive writing because the machines are going to be doing it for us.
Make an analogy. It's possible, but I don't know.
I know. Right?
I don't see why we should. People can nothing's stopping anybody. The fact that you've got ChatGPT to write for you doesn't stop you from writing if you want to. There's plenty of English majors out there. There's plenty of humanities majors who love writing. People are majoring in creative writing and poetry, believe it or not.
My thought is that those people will be using ChatGPT as a tool.
That's a little bit different. Yeah, I don't want to take up too much more time, but that's a little bit different problem. If people are posing as handcrafting, artisans, but actually using some tools, that's a bit of a fraud situation and a deception problem rather than a technological problem.
Well, Matt, I may have to schedule you for additional shows because we're out of time today, but let me just say thank you for the call, Matt, and let me just give a shout-out that next week, listeners, stick around because next week, in another riveting installment of Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, we will have local resident and coastal skyway advocate and ChatGPT non-warrior, Matt OJ on the show as our Shooting the Breeze live interview guest to explain to me and to you, listeners, why he thinks the overhead tram system is a good idea for the coastside. Looking forward to that, Matt, even though, cool. Like I said, you've got me worried now.
Okay, well, don't worry.
Okay. I'll talk to you next week, Matt.
Okay. Thanks,
all right.
Ruben.
Yep, bye-bye. And listeners, on April 7th, here's another special treat as Frank the Engineer leads us out of today's show. Local gadfly and deep thinker David Iblovi is going to guest host this show on April 7th. You don't want to miss that. Don't miss next week. Matt OJ, who you just heard talking to me on the phone about ChatGPT, will be on as our live interview guest. April 7th, guest host David Iblovi. Thanks for listening. Go Cougars. Watch the game. Here we go. State championship. Next Friday, I want to talk about that. All right. Go Cougars. Coastal Windage. The talk of the coast.